All right, so we're going to be talking about marriage again this week. So some last week told me I need to do a message for singles, and I do feel like I probably should do a message for singles at some point, or at least about godly dating, because you know if for no other reason there's like not anybody here that is single and maybe dating. We do have some children that are dating, right? Kinda. And more children that will be dating. So it would be good to go through a series about godly dating eventually. So I do want to do that. But I had to talk to Cheeto first about how to set up like the waterboarding and stuff that we'll be doing at the camp. No kidding. So far in this marriage series, we've talked about like a whole lot of different things. The foundations of marriage, how God created marriage. And then we talked about having trust in a marriage and not finding happiness in your partner, but finding happiness in Jesus. And this week we're going to be talking about communication. I read a little story. It says a husband and wife were at a party chatting with some friends when the subject of marriage counseling came up, and they said, "Oh, we're never going to need that. My wife and I have a great relationship," the husband explained. And he says she was a communications major in college, and I majored in theater arts. And then he continued on to say, "She communicates well and I act like I'm listening." That's not the way that the Bible says it should be, though, just so that you guys know. So I don't know that like every marriage has communication problems. I suspect that it does, looking at my own marriage. But I think that like most people do have some kind of communication issues. And whenever I was working on this message, I started over on it several times, like really trying to start over and convey what was on my heart with this whole thing. But every time that I would start writing, all this anger and frustration would start coming out in the message. And that's not what is my role to be. And it would actually be a very bad example to set in front of everyone. So I kept starting over and trying to see, because I realized just exactly how far I have to go personally to be a great imitator of Christ, and just exactly how sinful and selfish I am as I'm looking at communication. So every week something has hit me, but this one hit me harder than most of the messages. And it's because I think in the last few weeks, even before this marriage series started coming up, some things started coming up at work and all these things about communication. So a lot of things kind of happened to lead up to where I just didn't even want to do this message. I know it's important to marriage, but I feel like I'm so far from having great communication in my family. I don't have great communication with my wife. I don't have great communication with my kids. And so much that on Friday night, I was ready to just throw in the towel and be like, okay, I'm just going to stay in my room all the time. And I don't even want to talk to anybody, because it had built up to being that bad on Friday that I went to my go-to emotion of just getting upset and angry, and that's sinful in and of itself, right? So I didn't realize that there were all these communications in my family until Friday night, whenever everything just started hitting me, right? Probably spiritual warfare, but there's very real things that came up that I know that I need to deal with. And one of those things, I can be very brash many times with my family. And whenever that hit me, I just felt like I have no business standing up here and talking about communication, because it's so poor at my house. What can I really teach about that, about being a husband or a father? So I also start feeling like I have no business being a pastor at all. Like I'm dealing with all this stuff on Friday night as I'm starting to prepare for this message. And I'm like, how in the world can I lead a church and things be in the mess that they are with my communications? If I can't communicate successfully at home, how am I supposed to communicate at the church? How am I supposed to communicate at work? Like, how am I supposed to deal with all these things? And it really just started weighing down on me. And I was in I thought I did a pretty good job of telling everybody what I needed, right? But it's just something that, was really selfish whenever I was, whenever I started thinking about that. And I beat myself up really good. But then, so I go to bed Friday night, like I don't even have a business being a pastor anymore. I'm such a terrible communicator at home. I have all these different thoughts running through my head. And I'm praying like, God, you know, I need you to guide me in this, because I'm in like a world of mess. And then Saturday morning kicks in. I wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning, which is whenever I usually sit down and put everything to paper and go through all the things that I've got saved up, the scriptures, everything, read over everything again and start building the message. So it comes to Saturday morning and I wake up and I'm just still feeling like I have no business communicating anything about communication because I'm terrible at that. But I still have all these responsibilities. I still have to be a husband. I still have to be a father. I still have to be a pastor. That's what God called me to do. So I need to preach God's word on Sunday morning. I have to do that and I have to move on. So I need to figure out my own steps that I'm going to move forward. So how do I talk about something in front of you guys whenever I feel like I am absolutely just terrible at it and really have nothing to say? So what I decided is that I'm going to just get out of the way and I'm going to read what God says about communication, and then I'm going to try to put it into practice right along with everyone else, and I'm going to start working on that yesterday and continue working on it today and continue working on it every day, and hopefully my communication skills will improve as long as I do it God's way. So I started looking at that and trying to take out all the personal stuff, though there will still be some as I'm talking that'll come up. I just want to read what God's word says and leave it at that. The very first thing that I want to say is that this is so serious. Like, I didn't even realize how serious this was until Friday, whenever things start just, you know, coming into my mind a million miles an hour, and I'm hearing all of this stuff and Amber's talking to me and all this stuff just really starts coming up. So I realize now just exactly how serious communication is, or lack of communication is more serious also. And then I start thinking, like, this is probably the number one cause of divorce, right? We talk about their finances can be a big cause. There is infidelity is another big cause. So there's all these different things. But whenever I think about the root of all these things, it really comes down to communication. Like, if I communicate well with Amber about our finances and Amber communicates well back to me about our finances, then more than likely we will stay on the same page and we will have less problems through communication. And just about with anything, there's ways to communicate about things back and forth. If you have that trust relationship that you can communicate and that there's not going to be anger. So if we're communicating God's way, then we're going to have great communication with whoever it is that we're communicating with, whether it's our spouse or a friend or a coworker or whatever the case may be. If we're communicating well and we're doing it God's way, then we're going to be more efficient and more effective. So I started thinking it's probably like really one of the root causes of all these different problems in relationships. So good communication is really, really important to a great marriage and great parenting and great everything, right? So there's things that we have to remember to be effective communicators with our spouse. And throughout this series, we've looked at the perspective of we need to love each other as Christ loves the church. A husband and wife should love each other as Christ loved the church. So that's where I kind of stepped out a little bit, is like, we have to put Christ at the center. If we don't have that step in first, then we're never going to understand the love that Christ has for us, right? If we haven't experienced the unconditional love of Christ in our lives, then how are we to express unconditional love to our spouse? And that's what communication is going to come down to, the way that we love our spouse. But we need to have Jesus in our life to understand that. So I want to just get out of the way and I want to read. It's going to be a lot of scripture. So in seminary, one of the things that they taught us in a book was you're to pick like one scripture, right? One scripture, and really fill out that scripture and build a whole 20 minute message around that. And then it's not too much for anyone to chew on. It's easy to absorb and take in. And it's very rare that I do that. I do that sometimes. But today there's going to be a lot of scripture because, I just want to step back out of the way and just read God's word and maybe interject a few things here and there. But for the most part, I just want to get out of the way. So if you guys would turn to Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to start reading in there. And this is the Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Colossae, and he's got so much great stuff to share with us. So it says, if you have been raised with Christ, and maybe it'll come up there on the screen, maybe. If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above and not things on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, but when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. These are the things that we have to put away in our communication. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. I want to stop right there for a second, but you don't have to take it off the screen. So whenever I think about these things, it's obvious, right? The first part there is we need to get rid of all the anger. We can't be talking to our spouse in anger. We can't be laying out our wrath on them. We can't have malice. And then I think of the word slander. Like, where does slander come in? And this is a guy thing. I don't think that it's as bad with women, but I think that it can be. But guys, whenever we get together, sometimes we're morons, right? So we use phrases like the ball and chain, and we're tied down by these things. I can't go do that because the wife wouldn't be happy. And we make our wives have like a negative connotation with our friends. And instead of building them up and talking good about them, and I think that gossip takes place in some things, and we start to tear down our spouse around our friends, and then we're tearing them down not just in front of our friends, but to ourselves, and we're putting that stuff into our minds instead of building them up and talking about how great our wives are. And I'm guilty sometimes of that too, but I do try to build Amber up because she's a great wife, far greater wife than what I have been a husband. So we need to put away slander and not be slandering our wives and talking about things about her that aren't positive and uplifting. The next thing it says, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Lying is something that I was really, really bad about. And it usually came in finances. I was lying all the time about our finances to Amber because I really liked to see money building up in the bank. And I figured out that if I told Amber we had absolutely no money and she could spend this much money on groceries or whatever, then she would find a way to make that much money work. But if she knew that there was this much money, then she would buy this much stuff. So I was bad about lying to her. Now I said that a couple weeks ago. She does our finances. She knows exactly how much money there is unless I'm able to tuck away some in my wallet. Which I do that sometimes, but I don't lie about it. I'll tell her that I've got money there. Continue on. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is in all, and Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. So there's that part, right, that we talk about where you have to have that trust. In fact, that has to be there, and you have to be able to forgive each other very quickly so that you're not, whenever you have some kind of a quarrel or some kind of a fight about something, it's important to forgive quickly and communicate about the problem so that you can resolve it so that you don't go to bed angry about that. You must also forgive. So you need to be forgiving so that you can be forgiven, right? And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. That's the love of Christ. We have to have that in our lives. We have to understand what it's like to be forgiven. No matter what we've done, what we will do, Christ forgave us unconditionally, and we have to be able to express that onto our spouse, which sometimes it's difficult to do, but I just imagine, like, you know, the dumb things that I've done and God having to forgive me for those things because he said that he wouldn't, because I've put my trust into him. So, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Then it goes into his rules for Christian households. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, that's us guys, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. I think that's wives also shouldn't be provoking their children. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service, as people pleasers, with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. For whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing from the Lord you will not receive inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ, for the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong that he has done, and there is no partiality. So whenever I read this right here, it's all talking about putting on that new self, the new creation that God's created us to be. Whenever we've accepted him as our Savior and we put our full trust into him, these are the things that we should be putting on to ourselves. And if we practice all these things on our spouse, that unconditional love, the forgiveness, not being angry, not being malicious, and we do these things, we're going to see a greater marriage. So the next thing is being slow to anger, and that's going to be in James 1. We've all heard this, and we think about that, but sometimes it just is difficult to do. So James 1, verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So we've heard this before, but we're still kind of stubborn enough to not really take what that right there is saying. Like I try to be a good listener, and I can listen to a sermon for hours. I love the David Platt Secret Church sermon. It starts at 6 p.m. It ends at midnight. If we had gotten great internet here, then I would have been trying to play it up here so that we could all come listen to these great messages. But I love listening to sermons. I can watch a movie and I can stay in tune with the movie for hours. I can listen to Christian music sometimes whenever I'm working on something, or whenever I just want to sit there and learn some new songs, or just listen and absorb that and sing in my heart to God by just listening to this music. So I can do that for a long time. But for some reason, I can't listen to my wife or to my kids for very long at all. I either feel like I know what they're about to say, so I cut them off, or there's distractions around me and I want to focus in on those things, so I start getting irritated. Sometimes it's because Amber can take a long time to get to the point. I'm like a bullet point kind of a guy. I want to know, like, what's the point of this? And then I'll ask some questions if I want to fill in some blanks. But pretty much I want to know what the point is so that I can get there quickly and move on. But whenever I start getting short with her or angry with her or with my children, just quick like that, and I'm not taking the time to listen, I'm just jumping to conclusions and being angry about that. Like, I stood in front of God, in front of our friends and family, and I told everybody there that Amber is the most important person to me for the rest of my life until death do us part. But I don't act like that all the time. And that's where I'm starting to see some of these problems with my listening and with my communication with Amber. Like, she's supposed to be more important to me than the television, than Facebook, than books, than the kids, than being aggravated that dinner isn't ready on time, and all these different distractions that keep me from being a good communicator with her because I start getting frustrated. I'm not practicing what God has been teaching us, but moving forward, I do want to do that. So this problem has caused me personally to miss a whole lot. Like, and I'm sure that some of you guys have experienced the same thing. Like, if you're not listening to your spouse, you may miss some of the things going on in their lives. You may miss that they're hurting somehow emotionally because you're not taking the time to listen and cutting them off, and then they don't want to make you more upset or angry, so they don't say much. You may miss whenever they're really sick and may need to go see a doctor because you're too busy watching TV shows. And this is me. This may not be anybody else. Whenever it comes to anything that's going to cost me money, then I start to get gripey about spending money, and I don't want to hear anything else, so I start tuning things out. We may not know things that are going on in our kids' lives that may be important to our kids that we may need to be involved in because we're being very slow or terrible listeners and jumping to those conclusions and speaking very quickly. So we need to be sure and be slow to speak and quick to listen, like what Paul is telling the church here. We need to be making sure that we are speaking and that we're communicating in a way that God would have us communicate, that's free from anger, that's free from lies, that's free from any type of sin, because this is our spouse that God brought to us. God put us together, and God wants to keep us that way, and He gives us the manual right here. If we practice just a few of these things that are in here, this short little bit in Colossians, then marriage would be great. I believe that. And Paul even reiterates some of what he told the Colossian church in Ephesians 4. In Ephesians 4, he says, 29, Ephesians 4, 29, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." So we expect forgiveness from Christ because that's what His Word says, but then we have a hard time giving forgiveness sometimes and being free from anger, from all these things, but Paul talks about this a lot. And it's not just for our spouse, but is communication to anyone that we're talking with in the way that we should carry ourselves. Also, believers should constantly examine their communication. We should consider the tone of newer forms of communication, such as like email and text messaging and chats and things like that. That gets me into trouble a lot. I will read, like I've been chatting and emailing and texting, probably not texting as long, but letter, computer communication since the mid-90s. I love that because it meant that I didn't have to talk to people. I could actually just chat and text and do all these things. But a lot of times we can build tone into text messages and into emails and into chats that aren't really there. And sometimes at work, recently Joe pointed out to me that a lot of times when I'll read a text message or say something, then I add this tone of anger into it, which again is my default mode, and I'll read it, and that's how I see it, right? I look at what somebody's written to, special person, and you text back angry, and then they're left going like, what in the world just happened? Or sometimes you sent something, and it comes back with what seems like an angry tone to you, and you're just like, what in the world just went on here? So we have to be careful with new forms of communication. One of the things that Joe told me and our meeting is that I needed to pick up the phone. So as soon as I get a text message that I read it and I want to read some kind of tone into it that could be negative, then I need to pick up the phone and say, hey, I just got this message from you and I want to make sure that we're on the same page. So here's what I was trying to say. And then you may go, oh, okay, that, and get everybody back on the right page instead of, responding back with something else. And then it can blow up into something bigger. So we have to be careful with that. So we should never allow the safety of a computer screen to lead us to harsh or ungodly words towards others. We should consider our body language and facial expressions toward others as well. Simply withholding words is meaningless whenever our body language communicates disdain, anger, or hatred toward another. So sometimes whenever I'm talking to Amber, she'll either like see that glaze come over my face where I've just stopped paying attention, or I will just clam up and not say anything, but you can tell that I'm angry about something and I'm just holding my tongue so that I don't say anything dumb. or mean or whatever the case may be. So we have to be sure that we're communicating effectively with our expressions as well as with our words whenever we're doing stuff. So when engaged in conversation, as we prepare to speak, we should ask ourselves these questions. 1, is it true? 2, is it kind? And 3, is it necessary? So we can say something true to somebody, but it be unkind. Like, we don't want to say, hey, your mascara makes you look like a raccoon. It's maybe true, but at the same time, it's not very kind, so it's not a good method of communicating. Then there's, is it necessary? Sometimes I can sometimes say some things, but I've seen it where someone can say something that may be kind and it may be true, but it's not really necessary to say, like just one over the top for some reason. So we need to be sure that something is all three of those things. So as I'm reading and as I'm learning, as I'm feeling convicted over all these different things on communication that I feel like God was speaking directly into my heart and put me into a world of a mess, and I spent time in prayer on this and trying to set up a plan for myself. And I can't set up a plan for anyone else because, again, I'm terrible at communication with my family. But the things that I have decided that I'm going to do to improve my communication so that I can have way better communication with my children and with my wife at home and with everyone else. But this is primarily a marriage series that I'm going to use Amber on here. So my very first step, I think, for me, is that whenever Amber or one of the kids wants to talk about something, then I'm going to try to go somewhere without distractions, or I'm going to turn off all the distractions around me so that I can focus on listening to them. So in my room, usually I am watching some kind of a TV show on the television. So whenever you come into my space and you start trying to talk to me, I'm trying to focus on the TV and somebody's over there talking, I start to get annoyed. So I figure the fix for that is if they come in and want to talk to me, then I need to turn off my TV, turn off my phone, whatever is distracting me from them who I am to care about above all else. I have to kill all those distractions so that I can be a better communicator and listen to them. So the next thing, number 2, that I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to ask Amber to look to me for signs that I'm just zoning out and work harder on getting to her point whenever she's talking to me. So she knows that I'm like that. She knows that I need the quick point. So I need to ask her to look for that and see whenever I'm starting to get to that point so she can say, let me just get to the point real quick and then get to the point. She's not going to be able to just go directly to the point. That's not Amber. It's going to take her a while. Bless you. So that's number 2 for me, is to try to be a better listener by asking her to notice that I'm starting to zone out and to help to bring me back to where I'm paying attention and she's getting to the point. So number 3 is that I'm going to recognize whenever I'm not communicating effectively, and I'm going to step back quicker to make sure that I'm responding, that I'm not responding in anger or maliciously. So I've debated back and forth on kind of sharing this because I hate making myself look like a bad person or a bad pastor, but I still do sometimes because, I'm human and I make mistakes. So the last point on there goes back to Friday. So what happened in the Oliver home is Titus, our dog that is like this tall, he's a giant. He comes up to our door and he scratches. That means it's time to let Titus come into the house. Well, that new little puppy that they found this week was in the room, and Ariel and I communicated, not verbally. When I looked over at her and saw she wasn't getting up to let in Titus, so I went over to the door, knowing that she would start to get anxious about the puppy being in there, me letting in our big, huge dog that they've already barked and the dog communication of growling at each other. But I was there, so I didn't see the problem. Well, Ariel starts crying that I'm about to let the dog in there and that her mom is telling her to put down the puppy. And so instead of being nice and explaining everything, I just immediately snapped and told her to go to her room. Well, that brought up a whole lot of things and mistakes over the years of my snappiness that I like to think that I'm getting better at. But I send her to my room, and then Amber comes in there, and she starts telling me everything that I had done wrong. So at that point is whenever I just went back into my room and said, I'm not going to talk to anybody for the rest of the day. And that's pretty much what I did. And the worst part of it all is that it was on her birthday. So on Ariel's 14th birthday, I was kind of a jerk. So the next day, whenever Ariel came home from picking up her friend, she came in, and I talked to her about that. I apologized to her, and I asked for her forgiveness. And we got back right, because I love her so much, and I still make mistakes, and I want to be a better dad for her. So I had to do that. And in all of that, and seeing how I've done, and Amber brings up old things from the past that were there that I just had long forgotten about, but Ariel retains these things. She's got a great memory, especially for mistakes her dad has made. So she's got all these things on my snappiness and hurtful things that I can say without thinking, and I try to get better, but sometimes I still mess up. So that's why I recognize that what I could have done is I could have said, I'm going to let Titus in, but I don't want you to mess with the puppy. I want to see how they act, and I will not let Titus do anything to the puppy. I'm the alpha here, and whenever I say something to them, they will obey me. Both of them will, because I'm the alpha in this house. And whenever I sent her off and Titus came in, he did kind of go there by the puppy, and I told him to go to the couch. So he went up and got on the couch, and the puppy followed him, and he started to turn around, and I told him to lay down. And then, of course, this little puppy's just trying to get up there and play, and it hits his paw, and he does this stand-up snarling thing, and I jumped up just as quickly and snapped at him, and he put himself back down on the couch, and the little puppy ran the other way, and I'm like, that right there is how it works. So I was being that unkind alpha to my family and shouldn't have, and if I had just explained to Ariel that it wasn't a problem, I was going to take care of it, then I think that I could have resolved that easier. I needed to step back and think outside of the situation and try to explain everything in a soft and in a better fatherly manner, and that's what I learned on Friday and on Saturday as I was working on this message and just trying to get out of the way of it. So hopefully things are going to be better, because I want to be a better communicator for my family. I hope that everyone that is in here today also wants to be a better communicator with their spouse, if you have one, or be a better communicator with anyone around you in a kind and effective manner. With that, I want to pray for me, and I want to pray for you guys, and then I'll let you guys go home. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you grateful for just everything you do in our lives. God, this message hit me hard. You know that. You sent your Spirit, and I'm convicted of my mistakes and where I mess up. I thank you for your word that I can read through that and see how to be a better communicator and how to let go of all the things that I do in my communication that I shouldn't be doing, because I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be more like Jesus each and every day and reaching new heights for him, so that I can be effective in ministry, so that I can be an effective father, so that I can be an effective husband. God, I want to love people the way that you do, and my communication methods have not really said that. So I want to do better. I want to lift up those around me. I want to lift up the people that will listen to this message and just ask you to point out their mistakes, their sins to them also, so that they can begin to grow in ways that they never knew that they needed to before. It's going to be difficult, this one, to learn how to do better as each one. But God, I've found that in times when we're trying to do right, whenever we're trying to draw closer to you, it's in those times that the difficult things are. That we have things that want to eat away at us, that we have things that come about that cause us to not be focused on you and to be focused on a relationship. So God, I just ask that you would help all of us to be better communicators with each other, to put away the anger and maliciousness, and to just love our spouses and our friends and our family and our co-workers and everyone the same way that you love us. Thank you so much again for your word. We want to be stronger warriors, soldiers for you, and for the Great Commission. Lord, help us to be bold in our faith, bold in our walks with you, that we're walking closer and closer to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.